You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
I always feel good when I see Philip coming. Philip's our mailman. Hi, Reverend Meyer, how you doing? Fine, Philip. Did you bring me some money today? Well, I don't know about that, he says. Then he hands me the mail. Advertisements, letters, bank statements, bills, no checks, bills. The gas bill, the electric bill, the water bill, the telephone bill, the credit card bills, doctor bills, insurance bills, and every once in a while a friendly letter from a big company saying, you didn't pay your bill. Thank you, Philip, for bringing me those bills. Then we talk about the weather, or baseball, or his son, Stephen. After that conversation, which I'm sure Philip has many times a day, he continues his rounds, and I go into the house with my bills. But I feel good. Philip is one of those people who makes you feel good. Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount that bills and other physical needs of life provide an opportunity for us to encourage one another. Jesus says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We do worry about the things of life. We fret over wherewithal. Jesus said, wherewithal shall we be clothed? When Philip the mailman gives me the bills, I open them up and I ask the wherewithal question, wherewithal shall I pay these bills? Today is the 30th of the month. It's time to pay the bills. Wherewithal shall I find enough money? A few days ago, I stopped by an outreach center in North St. Louis, a place where underprivileged and homeless people are helped. Those people also ask the wherewithal question, wherewithal can we get a fan to keep cool in summer? Wherewithal can a teenage girl get medical help for the baby to be born? So many people in St. Louis and throughout the world ask the same question of the text, wherewithal shall we be clothed? I went to that outreach center to give away some clothes. Good clothes, but clothes that I don't have occasion to wear. Some of us have so much. Many of us have so little. I often visit the elderly. The question of wherewithal is very present with many of them. Wherewithal shall I support myself in my last years? I can't work. Social Security isn't enough. What if I have to go into a home? Wherewithal shall I be taken care of? We worry about the physical things of life. We do. And usually we worry alone. I sit at my desk with the bills and checkbook, and all alone I try to figure out how I'm going to make ends meet. I suspect the homeless do a lot of silent and lonely worrying about the necessities of life. Many of the elderly are alone and have no one to hear their problems. I suspect that people who are way up on the financial ladder, people who can pay their bills and have money left, probably do a lot of silent and lonely worrying. It can be a lonely thing, fretting over the wherewithal questions of life. Worrying, as if we didn't have a Heavenly Father. So, what a great lift it is, then, when someone like Philip speaks an encouraging word. You and I need to speak encouraging words to one another about the wherewithal questions of life. Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples. And when he says you, he means disciples in the plural, not the singular. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. You is plural, not singular. Why do you worry about clothing, he asks. The you is plural, not singular. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, Jesus says, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You is singular, not plural. In our English language, the word you can be either singular or plural. You can designate one person or a million people. In some parts of the country, people have invented a plural, yous. The rationale behind that is that if there's more than one of you, you are yous. That's improper English, and it grates on my ears. But it does make the point that the word you can be plural. Jesus' advice on the wherewithal of life is directed to all of us disciples together. It's not just you alone or me alone that should take Jesus' words to heart. St. Paul said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Together we should take his words to heart. Together we should encourage one another as we struggle with those wherewithal questions of life. Philip the mailman isn't the only one who should be encouraging, even while he is delivering all those bills. We should all be building one another up, because we are worth so much, you and I are. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? You are of much more value than the birds of the air or the lilies of the field. You're a special creation of God, you are. God said, let there be, and there were birds. God said, let there be, and there were lilies in the field. But God fashioned man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God fashioned woman from the rib of Adam in a special and marvelous creation. The way God created men and women indicates we're worth much more than the birds and lilies. And the way God redeemed you is the most magnificent demonstration of the great value you have with your Heavenly Father. He sent his Son to be a man, not a bird or a lily or anything else, but a human being just like you and I are. His Son Jesus Christ poured out his blood on the cross to forgive all your sins. Think that through. He let his own Son die for you. If he loves you that much, will he abandon you to the wherewithal problems of life? He will not. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. The Father, who let his Son die for you, also raised him to life on Easter morning. He freed Christ from the tomb so that you could have life in all its fullness now and in heaven. Do you think the Father raised Christ so that you could remain entombed in worry? Do you think that Christ rose to life so that you'd mope around, fretting over finances? When Christ set us free from sin, death, and the devil, don't you think that he also wanted to free us from worrying about the wherewithal of life? He sure did. You're worth so much, my friend. Created by God, redeemed by Christ, you are precious. Very, very precious. We should be telling one another that. We should be demonstrating that with acts of kindness. We should build one another up. The tendency is for us to look at one another like a machine that produces money or work. You're probably acquainted with the new money machines around town. You give the machine your special card and punch in your secret code, and you get cash back. Personally, I've never used one. But at any rate, the sole purpose of the machine is to produce money. Sometimes we deal with one another that way. In some families, the husband is the one who works outside the home, and the temptation for wife and children is to callously view him as a machine that produces money. In some families, the wife works, or thinks that she should be working, because her husband is forever complaining about the bills, and so she thinks, I guess he's telling me to get a job. That puts great strain on a wife. In single-parent families, the lone parent is valiantly trying to cope with children and work and pressures. Sometimes the children give the impression that the only thing we expect of you, our single parent, is to provide for us and give us money. Sometimes different generations do not appreciate different financial pressures. Parents don't always understand why their grown children spend money the way they do, and the grown children get upset when their parents offer words of caution and advice. We can be so dehumanizing with our words and actions about money. Our words and actions about the wherewithal questions of life can easily tell someone, you're only a machine here to produce. Let's build one another up. Why do we let the necessities of life become more important than love and support for each other? After all, who is it that you are talking to? It's a person for whom Christ died and rose again. Let them know how infinitely precious they are. Tell them, I like you. I love you. Can I help you? Show them that they're precious. Do little favors. Give them pleasant little surprises. Sit and listen. And above all, share your faith. Let your words and actions and your moods demonstrate that you believe that the Heavenly Father really will take care of us all. Money and the other wherewithal issues of life shouldn't be left for individuals to worry about alone, as if there were no Heavenly Father. Those questions should be group concerns. Remember, the word you in the Sermon on the Mount is plural, not singular. Let families talk about their finances. Let elderly friends share their concerns over their future on the telephone. Let parents and children teach one another that finances are a wonderful arena to demonstrate our faith that the Heavenly Father will take care of us. Let's build one another up. We are not machines to produce money. We are the redeemed children of God. And that is faith, great faith, and that's the way we want to be. People holding on to God and our Savior, and people who help and encourage one another. It's joyous, and it is helpful. Now, we don't ignore tomorrow. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Do not worry, he said. He didn't say, don't make provision for tomorrow. He's not saying, don't work. Look at the birds, they're always working. We should make provisions for tomorrow. Things like saving money and making out your will are very important. I understand that the level of personal savings in this country is one of the lowest in the industrialized world. That is not good. I know that a lot of people don't have wills. Not to have a will is not to make provision for tomorrow and for the people we want to help. Jesus didn't say, ignore tomorrow and live only for today. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Faith doesn't worry. It trusts God and the Savior, and it joyously provides for others. When you come to the end of your life, what will you remember? I often hear people say that they hope they die suddenly. Well, not me. I'd like to have some time to think. I'd like to have some hours, some days, some weeks to reflect back upon my life and to look forward to entering heaven. If the Lord gives me that time, and whatever the Lord chooses to do will be for the best. But if He gives me that time, I'll look back upon my life. And what do you think I'll recall? The money I made? The bills I paid? The cars or the houses I owned? I'm sure I won't give those things much thought. I'll think about God's blessings. I'll think about the people He has given, people who have been so dear to me. I'll think about Diane and Elizabeth and Katie. I'll think about our families. I'll think about our friends, all those people through whom the Heavenly Father has so richly blessed me. And yes, I'll think about Philip, the mailman who always encourages me, even while he's handing me that big stack of bills. These people are precious, very, very precious, more precious than any physical thing this world has to offer. And so are you. Created by God, redeemed by Jesus. Let's encourage one another. Let's be people of great faith. We do have a Heavenly Father. Amen.